Today on our Tech for Business podcast, we're joined by Jason, our VCIO, and Sarah, our Customer Relationship Manager. When this comes out, if you're listening to it live, we're maybe 3 weeks away from Pop into Excellence. Is that right?
Yeah, 12th of May.
Oh my gosh. So I'm actually going to start off it. What are you both most looking forward to for that event? I know you're both have a, you have a session that you're hosting. Yeah. I'm throwing you through a curveball about this event.
No, we were very purposeful about picking personalities that I think people haven't really heard from before in this specific, in this interview. And it's not a criticism. We have some great contributive content and perspectives. And I was talking to Sarah just thinking, you know, in this journey that we've both taken in the industry and all the challenges that we encounter trying to help dealer designers get what they need, let's find some people who maybe have points of view that are disruptive in their own right. So we've got someone who's a CFO at a dealership, and most designers don't, frankly, I think, have those kinds of relationships, right? Or someone who works in like the development of software tools that are really grounded in what designers need. Just I just think we did such a what's the word I'm looking for? We curated it very, very carefully. And I'm really excited about the panelists who I've known them for a long time, but I think they bring such a fresh point of view. And it's so needed right now with the industry and the state of transition it's in. As dealerships are consolidating, as they're going through a tremendous, I mean, the brands that they typically align with and sell in some cases have changed a couple of times in the past couple of years. I think it's a really good time for designers to be sort of learning about, you know, how do I work with these different personality types and teams that I may encounter, again, to get everything they need to be successful, because I cannot think of a group in a dealership that is often more closely measured in terms of their productivity than interior designers. But the good thing is that often does help us build those objective business cases for making investments in the things they need to be successful. So that's what that session's all about, is just giving them some unique points of view. People have been really successful in their own pursuits, requiring resourcing up to do the things they need to do and make those great business cases. So coming soon.
Yes.
May 12th.
Sarah, what are you excited
to? Well, yeah. Thank you. I'm excited that people are talking about this. Yeah. I'm excited that there's an advocate out there that is doing podcasts like this that can help you have a voice and help you get there and help you have resources. As I was a designer for 20 years, and it's nice to know that this is out there. Again, I mean, it's what I keep saying. It's the reason why I'm here.
Yeah. Alexandra's own journey has been so fascinating, and that, you know, the work that she has done to empower designers. And when she actually did Pop into Excellence last year, I was late to getting in there for sponsoring it. I just felt guilty. I'm like, God, I believe so strongly in this. And so I really wanted to get out in front of it this year. And it really is, I think, timely. But it's such a great venue. It's such a great ecosystem. It's such a great community that Alexandra has built with the Design Pop. We're definitely thrilled to be a part of it and be supportive of the designers by sponsoring and just making it free. The accessibility is so important. So we, you know, we went ahead and said, let's just sponsor it so that people who want to participate don't have to pay anything. And, you know, in my first panel discussion moderation, I can hopefully avoid making it a complete car crash, but it'll be exciting and live television. So please come on in and stay for the thrills.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. That community is so important, and it's great to have a space for that. Again, I'm kind of going off from our original topic, Jason, you teased a little bit about the industry changing. Can you tell me a little bit more about what these changes and evolution that the designer industry is going through right now?
Yeah, and I would, you know, at a macro level, right? And we've all heard about return to work, right? And I hate that term.
Yeah.
In fact, I think most dealerships and most marketing people have steered away from the idea of return to work because everyone worked through the pandemic. I remember actually flying out to one of my customers when I was running my consulting business and being in a hotel room watching the potential rumors in 2019. Are we going to close airports? Are we going to be able to get around? I mean, all that uncertainty led to a change in the way that people work every day and how they interact with workspace. And so not only has it been a challenge for the industry itself, you know, for example, Knoll and Herman Miller were two separate companies. They've now merged into what I believe is one of the largest manufacturers in the world of furniture. And so getting those two companies, those two cultures combined was a challenge, but also watching dealers consolidate. Many smaller family-owned dealerships are being purchased by other entities, which is, again, you get economy of scale, you get a lot of great benefits from that. You've also got potential dealer principals or owners who've decided after a long run saying, hey, you know, maybe if my kids don't want to run the business, it's time for me to jump out. So From my point of view, it is a time of tremendous evolution in the industry, both the changes in how businesses use Workspace requires a more consultative experience with those service providers in the industry that are helping guide them through the journey of figuring out how do we successfully use our Workspace to get, you know, the end goals of this company met, right? Is it a hybrid approach to having people who can work remotely and in person on certain types of teams? Or is it really we want to have a full return to office type culture, and so we want to support that with great Workspace that earns the commute, is the term I've heard a lot. So a lot of things conspiring. Of course, we've got, I do think that many of the, what we would call dealerships traditionally, that almost the parallel I draw is to us in IT and us as a managed service provider. We traditionally sold a lot of hardware in the past. And I think we are shifting, much like many other managed service providers, into more services. So we're selling our intellectual capital. We're selling our knowledge, our insights, our consultative perspectives. And I think a lot of, you know, what would be called dealerships, again, sort of tying it to the act of selling product at a margin higher than what you bought it for, but actually selling services with it in greater amounts. So more design insights, you know, how do you operationally store and then reconfigure and then redeploy things you already own in Workspace, et cetera, et cetera. So it's an exciting time. I think there's a ton of opportunity for people in this market, although I think as various tools in both manufacturing efficiency, specification efficiency, you know, we're also looking at, you know, how much staff does it require to do this? How can we do more work with the same or less staff even, which is an uncomfortable conversation sometimes. But I think it also means that the people that are in the industry are being asked to do more with the same or less. And so that's when, frankly, I as a technologist get excited, because there's so much opportunity to support those needs and to support those businesses that are out there trying to help other people in office work get and have a great experience. So we're kind of a force multiplier for the people behind the people.
Yeah.
And I find that thrilling, because it's an industry I never expected to fall in love with back, I don't want to admit how many years ago. It's a perfect point. You know, it's an ecosystem of people who want to do great work. They're very personally invested in it. The idea that great design and learning about design in the concept of, there's a lot of potential complexity behind the scenes, but when you experience it, it's simple, it's intuitive. It just clicks like a beautiful piece of art. You don't understand necessarily why it is great. It's just you experience it and it is. And so getting to be part of an industry that really deals in design as a commodity and as something that's part of their everyday work is thrilling to me. And it just resonates with me both personally and professionally. Long answer, short question. Sarah, do you have any perspective to share?
No? Well, Sarah, maybe I can ask you. We have so Aura Acceleration is our answer to designers. It's sort of, I see it as a way that we're kind of reaching through and reaching to them and supporting them and supporting that user experience and giving them their life back. How do you see that supporting the industry changes, the evolution that Jason just spoke about? It's a wild question.
I mean, as we know, everybody has more and more demands on their time. Right. And technology is evolving and the design industry needs to evolve with it. So giving them something like this or acceleration, and I know we haven't talked about it in depth, but making it easy and accessible and affordable and something that gives them their nights and weekends back. I mean, I say this story all the time, but I used to set an alarm for an hour, go to bed, get up, restart a rendering. Set the timer again, go to bed, get up, set it. I mean, and you hoped it was right and it looked right because you had a presentation due or you had an RFP due and it needed to get done and you couldn't do it during the day because your computer wouldn't work while the renderings were happening. So for Jason to develop this and take that off her plate is huge, huge, huge. So I think the neat thing is that the design community has learned a workaround, which is what I did for 20 years, workarounds. And now we don't have to do that anymore. We can use the tool as it was designed and make it even better. So I think that's a cool part of this too, is just making it better and easier and accessible. So.
For sure.
Yeah. I think, you know, there's an interesting point on the podcast Alexander just did, which was, you know, the quality of the rendering doesn't necessarily sell the project, right? But what I see is having lots of renderings for people who aren't necessarily visual thinkers to understand what is it that they're being sold. what is it? What is the concept the designer has in their mind? And then translating it to something that someone like me, who's not a designer by trade, can look at and say, oh, that, yeah, that's, you've gotten my visual design concept. You can walk me through how the space lays out efficiently. Those sorts of things are really about making decisions to support the sales process and really helping that dealership be successful. So it's a really critical business function. What we're accelerating specifically is the rendering function of CET Designer, which is itself a tool that's really designed to sort of compound the effort required to do multiple things at one time. So as I'm laying out my drawing in that two-dimensional space, I'm getting a three-dimensional representation of that. I'm getting all these, it's asking me the right questions to guide me through the specification process within what the manufacturer catalog extension allows. But ultimately, it also allows me to then render that space in a visual medium that, again, a decision maker, someone in facilities, someone even at the A&D firm that's working with a firm to work on a project, say, yep, that looks exactly like what I needed. And I can sign up. And I do agree, it was a very disruptive process for designers to do that, in part because of a technical limitation of how the rendering process was designed. So The original version of Aura acceleration, as it were, was a hardware thing. And it quickly evolved from being Jason geeking out his basement to Jason working with CIT to make it a remotely accessible solution. And I'll pivot into something that I think is really important. We had to challenge ourselves really quickly to say the product is having the effect it needs to have. We've got customers paying for it and using it and frankly raving about it, but it's inaccessible to probably 90% of the people that tried it because of the way it was configured and some of the technical limitations that were there. And that led to us having a conversation with Configura in which they agreed, we can make this better. We can work together. This is ultimately their IP. This is the solution being the CET Designer is their product. What we're doing is enhancing it and accelerating a portion of that. And so working with them, I think it was A, appropriate, but B, they're able to make changes and do things we didn't even know we could do with the product we started with. And so the next version is taking all the feedback we've gotten on a product that was successful and making it more user accessible, making it faster, making it more scalable. Again, it's all about that design experience. I feel like if you're going to sell something to designers, you have to respect their mindset and their expectations they have of excellence. And so the solution worked for us, but I don't think it passed the test that was, does a designer embrace it, say, it just makes sense, it just works, and it's super easy. And now I think we're going to hit that mark. And so getting a lot of thanks and regards and all the things. I mean, the Configura team has really put in a lot of effort getting there. And we've also done the same thing, saying testing. Sarah's been tirelessly testing it and giving feedback and testing it again and communicating with the users. We have beta testing this to make this product as good as it can be. And we're really, really excited to show it off next month.
I love it. I think it just kind of keeps coming back to that sense of community, you know, because it is not just sort of owned by one person or one entity. It's all of us working together and bringing our strengths to the table, which I love. I love to hear that. Yeah. Could you give us, without getting too far into the weeds, because I'm not super technical, but could you give us a little teaser about what this kind of third evolution, what is the word I'm looking for?
Rendition, incarnation. We can get all kinds
of things. Thank you.
So I've got all the big words in my head.
Oh my gosh. I love it. Yes, that we're at with Aura now.
Yeah. So the current version of Aura. Yeah, right. It's interesting. The first version today. We had to blow away. We cannot credibly stand on doing a podcast about how insecure VPN is. In many ways, it's one of the greatest vulnerabilities a dealership has technically. So bear with me for going technical for a second. Well, guess what? Our current rendering offload solution does require use of a VPN client. Mm-hmm. And I think we acknowledge early on, while it's a technical way to solve the problem, it doesn't pass muster when I'm also giving advice as a VCIO to a client about what are points of vulnerability that I would counsel you to remove so that your designers aren't dealing with not having files to work on one day because they got ransomware, for example. So the new version starts by becoming something that doesn't require necessarily an IT person to get involved at all. A designer can go to the marketplace, the Configura marketplace. They can select the extension or be assigned an extension license by Sarah. And the next time they start CET Designer, it will install it and simply attach itself into their PhotoLab instance. So when they hit the render button in PhotoLab, instead of it using all the resources of their laptop, which doesn't shut things down, it just means nothing else can happen. It's like driving everybody on a one lane on 35W during construction and saying good luck. It no longer does that. It now packages that drawing up, sends it to our servers. And if you send, say, 12 of them at once, we can render them all at the same time. So instead of having to wait for 12 renderings in a row to happen one by one by one, it just does them all simultaneously and then sends it back to you. And so some of the differences are, A, just that user interface. You don't need to install a separate VPN client that often would conflict with the dealership's VPN solution they use for file sharing, which, jump scare, if you are still using VPN and local file shares for storage of your design files, please reach out to me. I'd love to talk to you about that. There's a lot of reasons, but we'll not talk about that today. But it also now is compressing that data. So before, when you were going to send us a rendering image, you would have to wait a little bit longer because we have to package that data up and then send it to our rendering servers, where if you're rendering on your laptop, it could just start the process. That is pure overhead. So what Configura realizes, hey, we can compress that data before we send it across the network. It's going to get a lot, it's going to go a lot faster. So that overhead number goes down. So again, just really great back and forth, again, designing with Configura and with our users. Where are you seeing points of friction? Where are you seeing slowness? Where is the solution maybe not meeting your expectations because there are those technical things happening behind the scenes? And now we as technologists have to figure out how to solve those problems. And I think that's what's exciting to me about how this has evolved, in that it is so simple. In some cases, we have to tell a designer, no, it actually is working. It just, the installation process required nothing but you clicking, yep, I want to buy or subscribe to this, and it adds it into your CT designer. It's just, it's, I love the way it's evolved so far, and I do love the idea that it's going to keep getting better from here. So we've actually increased the number of servers we're going to apply for this before launch, which is a good thing. We realized that for this thing really to show well, we want to give it as much horsepower to run as possible. So kudos internally for our team coming together and working with me to build a new render server design right before we launch, which is a little scary, but also really exciting because we were able to, again, take lessons learned internally. How do we cost effectively scale this up very, very quickly, given the macroeconomic concerns we have with, you know, bringing hardware into the country, all these other things? We had to be able to pivot quickly. So again, end user experience perspective, it is a completely different experience than we offered even a generation ago with what we launched last year. And so again, in a month, designers can start to see exactly what it looks like. But thrilled with it. Sarah has done a great job engaging with designers and just, you know, hey, try this. You know, when they hit a bump in the road, we meet with Configura at this point almost weekly now to go through, you know, how's our beta test going? What feedback do they have? And then continually changing and improving it as we go. So we've even got some great manufacturer partners who are engaged and really interested in seeing where this goes. So again, I'm so grateful for the support the community in the industry has provided, and also for the high level of expectation they have for this, and thus holding us accountable and believing in us to get those solutions worked out before this thing goes live. So did I explain it well enough for you, Ariel? Did I veer off in my parenthetical speech? Yeah.
No, you know, it made sense to me. And to be fair, Sarah has shown it to me before.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there as someone who does, you know, some intense work with Adobe and has similar issues. It blew my mind. I could not believe how well it worked and how amazing it was. So I am very excited for your community to have this tool. It's absolutely amazing. Sarah, I'd love to talk to you a little bit about, especially somebody who's testing this and using this, how do you see this kind of changing the future of work for designers? Not just the work-life balance that we've talked about before, but is it going to change what they can create and how they're creating and the whole workflow?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you can hit render, I mean, when we did our first presentation, it was what you've been taught, you know, that you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. If you want to use this tool, you have a lot of limitations, and now those limitations are gone. So while I'm doing render multiple and rendering 12 drawings at once, I can go back into my email and start typing the email that I'm going to send to the person that these renderings are going to. I can do work, you know, alongside this process, which is typically not been the case for a lot of people. Or, you know, a lot of designers that I've talked to saying, I just do really simple renderings because I can't waste the time sitting there waiting for it to render and not be able to use my computer. Or we had another person had a separate computer for rendering so it could run the process. So she was kind of implementing this all by herself. But that's, again, that's the workarounds that designers have figured out to maintain efficiency. So like Jason said, you know, we are production, you know, we're evaluated on the product that we put out. So to make them look better and faster and more efficient is exciting for me. that's, you know, the last 20 years as a designer, but also as a manufacturer's rep, making sure that designers had everything they needed to do their job was my job. So moving into this IT side of things was pretty easy. I mean, it seems like a big swing from an art degree to a working for a technical company, but for me, it was helping people have what they need to do their jobs. So I think it will be exciting for people, and it has been exciting for people that we've talked to that are like, this is amazing. And as this product develops, it will get even better. Mm-hmm. So we're excited. We're excited. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ara.
Oh, no. Yeah. Jason.
Sure. No, I'll just say this. I do believe really strongly that, you know, CIT investing in this, what we would call a vertical market, right? So just like in the industry we support, it's healthcare or finance or, you know, multiple vertical markets. We've decided we want to be a credible partner here. And I think this is the beginning of that, developing a product that really, you know, shows that, hey, we understand what we're doing in the industry. We're passionate about what we're doing. We can forge partnerships with industry-leading technology companies. We can cross lines with different manufacturers to say, we're working together to build something that makes everyone's jobs better and easier. And yeah, we're monetizing it, because to do these things, we have to have capital to invest. So really it's driving to, we're offering a great value. We're explaining what that value proposition is, and we're making it easy for a designer to make a decision to try the product, make sure it really fits their use case. And if it does, then they can make the investment in it. If I were giving the elevator pitch to somebody in an elevator, for example, it's like, hey, if you're going to save, you know, spend essentially an hour of designer's time in the tool, but you may get 10 times that back in productive work. And to me, that's the litmus test. If you're going to get 10 times your investment back, then buy it. If you're not sure, try it, you know, and that's what we want to offer people, the chance to get a trial, build some intelligence around it, help build that business pitch. To some extent, this even drives back to the roundtable discussion, the panel discussion we're having, right? Which is about explaining to, you know, within a dealer's sort of financial constraints, how do we encourage investment in ourselves? And this tool, to some extent, is designed with that in mind. How do I, as a designer, explain the value proposition that this investment will make? How can I be accountable for that? And then how do I show the data to them at the end to say, you made an investment of, you know, $50, $60 a month, but I got 1,000 things are in some cases worth more than even the time saved internally. So it's about being transparent. It's about being on front of it. It's about really, again, letting the industry hold us accountable and then driving for excellence in what we're doing.
Definitely.
So, I'll shut up now.
As we sort of wrap up, I want to make sure you both get a chance to share anything that you would like, but where do you see this going? I mean, do you see another version of this offload tool? Do you see the next pain point that you really want to dive into? What's sort of the next step for both of you?
Or Jason takes this, because I know he's excited to talk about it. I just want to say that the exciting part for me about this is that this just the fact that Jason was listening to a designer developed a solution, that has been the most fun for me, is now we're sitting down and talking to designers and talking to dealerships and talking to leaders in dealerships and having them say, you know, this is another problem I have. So for us to be gathering that information and listening as much as we're talking and taking those things away, that's building the next level of services that we can provide for dealerships. And Jason can talk about those services a little bit more, but that has been so cool to go into dealerships and listen, and just a little bit for a half an hour, we're talking to them. We just had a dealership email us back right after our meeting and said, what'd she say, Jason?
Well,
this industry has been missing this piece for 20 years. I've been in this industry, and this is what we've been missing. Somebody that can help us with this. So that was exciting for us a couple weeks ago to hear it. It's always nice to hear it. But Jason, I'll let you take it because I know you're excited about this. But I also want you to pay attention to how excited he is about it, because it is infectious, and it's so, so, so nice to have somebody in your corner that is truly this excited about helping dealerships and designers.
I gotta get me all misted up here, man. No, it's it's really fun. I see this as, again, this was table stakes, right? When I was running my consulting business, I had to come to a realization that I was operating as we call a lone wolf, right? I was doing my own thing. There was a lot of people that are interested in what I was trying to do, but I didn't have the scale to deliver on it. And for me, this isn't about me, right? But I want to parallel the journey for a moment of, I had to realize personally that I was not going to be able to see the vision that I had for how to support dealers and their designers without more people to help me. And joining CIT and hiring Sarah and working with this incredible team, a great marketing team, we've got a great project management team, we've got all these great teams at CIT. And even having other people that aren't from the industry coming up and saying, hey, we want to be part of what you're doing. It's humbling and it's exciting because we do see the rendering process to me, again, is table stakes, right? It's a very straight line business problem. You make a quick evaluation. Is the cost worth it to you? And then move forward with it, right? But what's next, right? So there is an entire industry in the material handling space. And it's ironic. You know, your background will take you all sorts of funny places. I used to work for Target Corporation. Target Corporation has a lot of things called distribution centers in which a whole lot of product gets brought in, broken up, delivered around on conveyor belts, things like that. Well, there's an entire industry that CET Designer supports as well. It's called material handling. And I was just talking to my neighbor who also used to work for Target, go figure. And he specialized in the industry. And he said, Jason, do you know how expensive it is to do the simulations of how things move around in that space? And that it's an unmet need to figure out how to do this stuff, to really do a good job. As the industry around us is the way that I guess consumer delivery of goods or all that stuff happens, how the Amazon effect, right? How do we support that sort of function of workspace design? Because workspaces aren't necessarily just offices. They're also spaces like this. There's a whole opportunity to improve and accelerate those things. So I'd say at a macro level, we are very much in tune to, we've gotten really good at accelerating business functions. What other business functions can we get connected to, right? Because rendering within CET Designer is all about driving greater value from an investment you've made in that software and that training. Mm-hmm. But what else is there? We talk about AI, for example. I love AI in the sense that it is this nebulous, everyone needs it, everyone wants it, but nobody really knows how to figure out what it's going to solve for. And I would say, you know, generative image, like ironically, generation of images, right? Generative AI does have a very clear connection to, for example, the rendering process. Mm-hmm. One of the workflows that we're thinking about is often when a designer is rendering a space in a specification tool, they have to add things like, you know, photos on the wall and like what's going on outside the building and like time of day thing. So there's all these elements that they're adding to a rendering, but they're maybe not actually selling to the client. They're just, it's an overhead or a cost. So what can we potentially do using, you know, that whole broad concept of AI and really machine learning to say, if we know a bit about the client, if we know where they're located, can we start to generate some of the content and not require the designer to do that? But, you know, I don't see AI robots taking over the jobs of designers anytime soon, but I see it being an incredible way to empower people through the decision-making process where you have so many options available to you by curating that selection, that list down. I do think there's a real technical play here to make a designer's job easier and more focused, and also to help maybe curate what am I sharing with a client based on their feedback, based on their interactions. It's I think, a positive thing. You know, some people are very concerned about privacy implications of AI, which I understand, but also that by letting people sort of use those tools, it can really help drive the design process to a level it's never been able to achieve before, because so much of it is about just driving decision-making. And by accelerating that process, I think there's a play for us. But we, from a technical standpoint, the designer in a dealership today drives probably the most difficult set of use cases for the overall technology environment in a commercial furniture dealership. And that is coupled with a very, very small IT budget. So for us, the current challenge is, how do we look at a dealership with a very finite, typically 1% of gross or less? It's a tiny IT budget. So how do we leverage that to the greatest experience for that designer and everyone else who's at that dealership, sharing the same files on the same network using laptops effectively? And I'll be honest, I think we've got a really, really, really good formula put together now where we can go into a dealership. We can do a very targeted assessment using both industry standard processes, but also bringing our knowledge of the industry, where people are going, help dealerships that don't have an IT strategy because they're maybe not that big. They don't necessarily think they need one, but helping them understand you don't need to be a huge dealership to have enterprise scale. Let us guide you through that journey. Let us bring our economy of scale and our knowledge of process and our knowledge of how something as simple as how files are accessed affects that designer's experience and their productivity, and also affects the person in project management and the person on the warehouse doing operational work. All these people, they're all connected together. And that connectedness is where we can build scale of economy and improve experience. And where CIT as a whole has played well is in delivering all of those services, perhaps in different industries. And so for the last 2 years, we've really been focusing on how do we take what we know and do really well at scale for other industries, and now really curate it into an experience for commercial workspace dealers, for manufacturers, and also help protect them from external threats and things that maybe they're not thinking about today. Even things like changes in basic legislation that say, if you are a commercial workspace dealership and maybe were selling on behalf of a manufacturer before, you may have gotten away with not having to be audited yourself. Mm-hmm. Well, nowadays, that's not the case. You have to actually comply with some of these IT regulations. And by making it less onerous and less kind of scary and expensive for dealerships to go through that, so they can maintain their business connections and get into those big projects, that's part of what we can offer. So I'm excited about those things, even though they don't sound maybe as glamorous as rendering offload. At the end of the day, it's empowering designers. It's making people's work more fulfilling. It's making it more efficient. I know I find it very personally frustrating when I'm just caught up in the minutia and I'm not doing my best work. I want to just avoid that experience for people working in these jobs.
And I want to interrupt you too, because not only the designer, but the entire office, the entire contract furniture dealership office. I mean, we just went on trip and sat with a dealership for a day and a half, 2 days, and went through every department. And Jason and another person on our team, Nicole, did an amazing job listening and then coming back with recommendations for the dealership to streamline their entire operation. So it's not just the designer, it's the whole operation. But in addition to that, we've also listened and learned that there are companies that just need us to sit down with designers and look at what they're doing, make sure they're running as efficiently as we can. So anywhere from a couple hours to 2 days to you just want to talk to us, we're always happy to talk and listen.
Yeah, it's really exciting to be able to fractionalize. You know, I worked for a very large dealership in the industry, which gave me access to, and frankly, I was attached to a larger corporate entity. So I had a lot of resources at my disposal, and a lot of dealerships don't have that. And a lot of IT people in dealerships who are also very passionate about serving those needs don't have those resources. So I do love that part of my job is also working with other tech leaders who chose to be passionate about this industry and maybe just don't have the same perspective, didn't have the same opportunities and resources that I had, and say, hey, we're here to help. We're not here to replace. We're here to say, hey, how do I supercharge what you're doing and make you look even better and make you, you know, help you and maybe your leadership team have a discussion about perspectives, where if I come in and say something to the leadership team that maybe would be, you know, threatening or concerning, like that's part of my job, is to help empower the IT leaders who are then in turn empowering the design teams and the project managers and the CS people and even the leadership teams. One of the most fascinating things about this business is everyone who works in the industry is somewhat being scrutinized for how they do their work in their offices every day. So dealership's office space is a microcosm for not only showing great, they have to show great work process and great applications of technology and space, because that's their credibility on the line every time a client walks in. If you go in and you have a bad experience in a conference room because the technology wasn't well designed or was designed on a budget that didn't really allow it to do what it needs to do, that kills your credibility. And if there are 9 or 10 dealers in a single geographic space, which in some of the larger markets in the country there are, it can be very difficult for a dealership who's not making those continual investments to get there. And it can be very expensive. You know, bad AV investments, bad IT investments can consume a ton of capital. They can be very disruptive to the business process. And business can go bankrupt. That's why, you know, ransomware is so expensive. Sometimes it shuts down the whole business. Today, you cannot operate without a good technology sort of portfolio that's properly managed. And I would definitely say the best and brightest dealerships out there look at that as their opportunity. They're always experimenting on themselves, but they're also building scale of economy. They're trying to do things with as little friction between their end users and the space they have, because that shows to clients. So the more they can have a client come in and have a great experience in their space, the more stuff they can sell. And thus, the more they can pay their people, you know, high tide floats all boats, all those things. In Jason's wide world of opinions.
I love it. I love it. Again, I just love this, bringing it back to community and having it affect everyone and the user and the product and the people buying it. So it's amazing. Thank you both for joining us today. And we've said before on this podcast, conversation is free. So reach out to us if you want to talk to either of these people. We will get you in touch. Thank you both for coming.
Thanks, Ariel. Appreciate the conversation.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this topic, please let us know. Like, subscribe, or reach out to us at info@cit-net.com or head out to our website, cit-net.com/podcast. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode.